This morning, then, our text will be taken from the chapter that we read, and we'll focus especially on the verses 1 through 13 this morning. Beloved congregation of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, I can tell you that I have never been myself to the Grand Canyon. I've only ever seen pictures of this beautiful part of the world. But of course, if you ever talk to somebody who has actually been there, then the first thing that they'll tell you is that the pictures will never do it justice. No picture can capture the grandeur of the Grand Canyon. When you first see it, it's almost like it's going to take your breath away. And when people say these sort of things to you, you kind of get a feeling inside of yourself going, you know, is that really true? I'd kind of like to go and see it for myself to see if it's really so great that it almost would take my breath away just seeing some part of God's world. Well, really, congregation, it's thoughts like these that were also going through the mind of the Queen of Sheba, because she's heard some interesting reports about this fellow named King Solomon and about his God, who is known as the Lord. And they're spectacular reports. But she wants to go and see it for herself. She wants to find out, is all this hype around King Solomon and the Lord really deserved? Is the kingdom of God really that amazing? Now, if you look at our text this morning, verse 5, it already gives you the answer. What happens after the Queen of Sheba has seen everything? Well, it says there was no more breath in her. Everything she sees takes her breath away. That's how amazing what she saw was in the kingdom of God with King Solomon. And now what's amazing for us this morning, beloved, is that this kingdom that we're reading about this morning, it's not something that remained in the past that we don't have to think about anymore. This very kingdom of God is still the kingdom of God that even we are members of. This kingdom of God, with its breathtaking blessings, with an awesome king, is the kingdom that even we are a part of. A kingdom that has even greater blessings, because our king is not just Solomon, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning we have a beautiful opportunity to simply rejoice, even to revel, you could say, in the blessings of this awesome kingdom of God as the Queen of Sheba bears witness to it. And so that's our theme for this morning as well. The Queen of Sheba bears witness to the breathtaking blessings of God's kingdom. And we'll consider 3 points. First, why she comes. Second, what she experiences. And thirdly, how she responds. So first then, why she comes. Now you notice right away in the first verse of our text this morning that the Queen of Sheba comes not only because of King Solomon, but it says there in verse 1, the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. And right away, you see, that's a beautiful connection, isn't it? Why is Solomon famous? Well, he's not famous in his own right. He's famous because it's clear, even to distant nations, that he is somehow connected to the Lord, that it's the Lord God who is making these blessings possible. And so the Queen of Sheba comes because she wants to see what the Lord has done for King Solomon and for his people. And you understand, congregation, that this is exactly what the life of a Christian believer is also meant to look like. You know, what should you be known for, beloved? What should you be, you could even say, famous for? Well, certainly not for the things that you have accomplished just in yourself or for your own strength. You know, we're called to be people who are known to be connected to the name of the Lord. Those who are members of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, those who look to the Lord for all things, who give him thanks in every situation. You know, if you want to be famous for something, then here it is. Be known for being a Christian believer, someone who's connected to the name of the Lord. And why is that so important? Well, it's because when you do these things, people, they will notice. And more than that, by the grace of God, some of those people will actually be attracted to you and to the kingdom that you are a part of, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they understand there's special blessing. Just as the Queen of Sheba perceived that, so others around us understand something is going on. Now you ask yourself, what are those blessings? What are the things that might get noticed that draw people in? Well, think first of all, congregation, about how we as Christians might experience trial. Christian believers, we have that special comfort and peace that no one else does in the midst of challenges. You know what happens when work is not as busy as it needs to be? Or when an unexpected breakdown or an accident occurs? What happens when a deal falls through that you were really counting on? Well, the Christian believer is not going to get angry and upset and start cursing and look for somebody to blame. No, Christians continue trusting in the sovereign providence of God and praying to Him for our daily bread. It's a totally different reaction than those in the world. And what about when we get injured or when we are sick or when we experience really challenging things like infertility or the weakness of the flesh that comes from old age? These things are challenging, but at the same time, for the Christian believer, they do not entirely crush us, because we know our identity is not found in what we accomplish. Our identity is found in Jesus Christ and in knowing we have a Father in heaven who loves us for His sake. And as you well know too this morning, beloved, even when something like death comes, we don't grieve as those who have no hope, because even death itself has lost its sting because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And you don't understand how different that is from the world around us, who are absolutely devastated. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it's not only trials that we can talk about, but think about your good days as well. What happens when the Lord grants to us physical, material blessings? What does the Christian believer do, the one who's connected to the name of the Lord? Well, they give thanks to the Lord, because we know that apart from the Lord, the builder labors in vain. And as a result, we do not become consumed with wealth or the pursuit of it, but we joyfully receive all these things from the hand of God and use them for the glory of His kingdom, first of all. And some of you know exactly how different this is from the world around us, because your unbelieving coworkers look at you and they see the way you use your wealth and riches and they just don't understand it. Let them know that it's because you are living in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And then one more blessing we have in the kingdom of God that we can consider this morning is the clear direction we have for our life that comes from the law of God. You know, I think of Psalm 1. Blessed are those, says the psalmist, who stay away from all the forms of sin and who delight in the law of God. Now, why is that a blessing? Well, it's a blessing because it gives you direction for how to live your life, a life that leads to glorifying God and blessing for you and those around you. It's a blessing when you love the Lord God because you see how much He's loved you first. It is a blessing when you honor and respect your parents. It is a blessing when you hold marriage in honor, when you live a chaste, disciplined life. It is a blessing when you promote and defend human life from conception to natural death. All of these things are blessings because it's how God would have us live, and God knows how this world is meant to work. And as we do all these things, beloved, and in every area of your life, may we be like Solomon. You know, the one who was famous not because of just all the things he knew and all the wealth he had, but because all of this was connected to the Lord. His wisdom came from the Lord. His riches came from the Lord. And everybody knew that. The Queen of Sheba came because she heard of his fame concerning the name of the Lord. Or think of what the Lord Jesus himself says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and what? And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And really, that's what Solomon was doing. His light was shining brightly. It was shining so brightly that even the Queen of Sheba in a distant land could perceive the glory of the Lord God. And she was drawn to it. And as she comes to the kingdom, what she then experiences is simply breathtaking. And so that brings us to our second point, what she experiences. And I think it's quite telling, congregation, that when the Queen of Sheba comes, it's not Solomon's great wealth and prosperity that she's especially interested in. What she wants to see is Solomon's wisdom, first of all. You see that also in verse 1. The Queen of Sheba heard the famous Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, and so what did she do? She came to test him with hard questions. And again, at the end of verse 2, when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. You know, this Queen of Sheba, this foreign ruler, she herself already has all the riches and prosperity she could ever want. You know, just look at her own retinue that she brings with her, camels loaded up with gold and with spices and very precious jewels. She herself is fabulously wealthy. But she comes to Solomon because she's looking for something more. Even though she's got all the worldly blessings anybody could ever desire, she's not happy with those. She sees something special about this Solomon. She comes to him. And she comes to him with hard questions on her heart and her mind. And when you read that, congregation, you know that the Queen of Sheba, she isn't just bringing Solomon, you know, some of her favorite riddles that she wants to try to stump him with, you know, some jokes you might have. Maybe you won't get this one. No, that's not what she's coming with. The Queen of Sheba is coming to Solomon because she has some big questions on her heart and mind. Questions concerning things like, you could say, the meaning of life, one's purpose in life, maybe even morality, what's right, what's wrong. Questions about where true happiness and rest can be found for her soul. These are hard questions which you can believe the Queen of Sheba has for Solomon. And just as a brief aside, beloved, think about this. If the Queen of Sheba, who herself had gold basically coming out of her ears, was not satisfied with that earthly wealth, what makes you think that you would ever be satisfied with any amount of earthly wealth? Why would we ever pursue simply the material things of this earth when we know these are not going to answer these hard and deep questions which every one of us must answer, which every human being must answer? The Queen of Sheba brings her hard questions to Solomon, and then notice what happens in verse 3. It says there, "And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her." Solomon had answers. Now ask yourself, where did he get these answers from? Well, of course, you know the answer to that. It's because the Lord God had filled Solomon with the very wisdom of God. We're reminded of that later again in chapter 10 in verse 24. There it says that the whole earth sought the presence of Solomon. Why? To hear his wisdom, which God had put into his mind. Which tells us, congregation, that the wisdom of God, it has the answers for this life. The wisdom of God has the answers for all the hard questions you might have. And you know, that should give you great confidence, first of all, as you go and interact with people in the world. But more than that, you know, what joy it brings for us to know that we have a worldview that actually can make sense of the world. We have a worldview which is the right one because we know it comes from the Creator of the world. He has revealed these things to us. The one in whom all meaning and purpose is found has told us where to find these things. And again, to give just a few examples of this, think about truth in our days, beloved. We can have confidence that we have absolute truth in the Word of God because God himself is the very God of truth who reveals his truth to us. We know that there are exactly two genders in this world, not more, not less, because the Word of God says male and female, he created them. We know where evil in this world comes from, and we know exactly what God is going to do about it. And the same is true when you see evil in your own heart, congregation. You know the cause of it, and you know the solution that God has given. And we could go on and on. We know that wars and rumors of wars in this world, what are they? Well, they are the birth pangs of what's coming, the end of this evil age, the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives have purpose because we've been blessed with the knowledge of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whom all things hold together. It's this wisdom that Solomon had which answered all the queen's questions because it's a wisdom from God. And so you understand why Scripture also speaks about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. Because apart from the Lord God, you will just be lost. You'll be confused in this world. And I saw that again a few weeks ago. I was having a conversation with somebody who does not fear the Lord. And the topic of abortion came up. Now, this person I was speaking to, instinctually, they thought that abortion was wrong and that it should be avoided. And yet when I pressed this person to give a reason, give some grounding for why that is the case, they could give me nothing. It was just a feeling that they had, and certainly they had no reason why they should say to anybody else whether it was right or wrong. And that is because, congregation, unless you believe, as it says in the Word of God, that every person is made in the very image of God, and that life itself is sacred and should be protected from birth to natural death in obedience to the sixth commandment, unless you hold on to that truth, you have nothing to stand upon. And we could multiply examples this morning. So much of the confusion, the distress, the trouble in this world is due to the fact that they have abandoned the truth of God. They have become darkened in their understanding. And again, this is why it's so remarkable that we have the truth of God, that we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of what Jesus himself says in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And congregation, you understand, it's this very light that also the Queen of Sheba saw coming forth from Solomon. As she experienced, you know, these rock-solid answers that Solomon gave to all of her hard questions because he had the wisdom of God. Which should lead us, congregation, to rejoice that this is the very light which we ourselves are blessed to walk in as citizens of the kingdom of God. Let us trust that this is the light that gives answers, gives direction in every circumstance we find ourselves, even as we pray that God would continue to fill us daily with this wisdom which has answers to the hard questions of this life. Now, of course, it's not only Solomon's wisdom that the queen experiences, but also his great wealth and prosperity. Now, congregation, let me ask you a question this morning. Do you think that it was right for King Solomon to acquire all this wealth and these riches that we see in 1 Kings chapter 10 this morning? Is this something he should have done? The reason that I ask this question is because this has been often debated. And the reason it has been is because of what it says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 17. Here in Deuteronomy 17, the Lord gives, you could say, direction for how the kings in Israel are supposed to behave themselves. And I'll read with you a couple verses from Deuteronomy 17, verse 16 and 17. It says there of the king that he must not acquire many horses for himself, or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses, since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. And he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. Now, when you read that, at first it sounds like a slam dunk, doesn't it? Solomon, he acquired many horses from Egypt. He has an excessive amount of gold, therefore he must be disobeying the law of God. We'll leave the matter of the wives aside for now, as that's dealt with more clearly in chapter 11. But for now, let's think a bit more carefully about all of Solomon's wealth. Now, yes, it's true, horses would certainly have been a problem if, you could say, Solomon started to put all of his trust in them or in the help that he received from a foreign nation like Egypt. Solomon himself even warns against doing this in the book of Proverbs. Think, for example, of Proverbs 21, verse 31. There King Solomon himself says, "The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord." Solomon understands these things. And when you read Scripture, nowhere does it explicitly say that Solomon, instead of trusting in God for his victories, started trusting in his horses or in the help of a nation like Egypt. And even here in 1 Kings chapter 10, we get a little glimpse of Solomon's continued worship of the Lord. You see, close to the end of verse 5, 1 Kings 10, verse 5, one of the things that took the breath away from the Queen of Sheba was his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord. He continued to worship the Lord during the queen's visit. So that's horses. Well, what about the gold? Well, first of all, you understand Solomon was not just hoarding all this gold for himself. He was using it for the glory of the kingdom. The entire inside of the temple of God had been lined from the floor to the ceiling with gold. And if you think back in the book of 1 Kings, we learn in chapter 4 that all of Israel were eating and drinking and were happy because they all lived under their own vine and fig tree. No doubt because they were sharing in the wealth and the blessings of the kingdom that Solomon was king over. But even more importantly, congregation, don't forget that when the Lord God himself appeared to Solomon back in chapter 3 and he said, "What shall I give to you?" What did Solomon ask for? Well, Solomon asked that the Lord would give him wisdom so that he could rule the people with justice and righteousness. And after Solomon asked for wisdom, the Lord said, "Because you've asked for this, therefore I will also give to you wealth and prosperity beyond anybody who has ever lived." And so we see that God himself is the one who has blessed Solomon, not just with his wisdom, but with this immense wealth and prosperity. Why? To show the awesome glory of the kingdom of God. To show his power, his majesty, to make it clear to all the kings of the earth that this king reigning on the throne of David in Jerusalem was the King of Kings, the one to whom all people must give tribute, which they do. And when the Queen of Sheba sees all these things, you know, the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, it says at the end of verse 5, there was no more breath in her. And that is because life in the kingdom of God under his anointed king is filled with breathtaking blessings beyond our imagination. You know, sometimes we just need somebody who's on the outside to remind us of these things, don't we? As the old saying goes, familiarity can breed contempt. And maybe you, congregation, are so familiar with life in the kingdom of God that you start to lose your sense of how richly we've been blessed. Maybe your light, it's shining a little bit dimly or maybe not at all because you've forgotten that you are living in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has breathtaking blessings beyond your imagination. Maybe you're starting to even look elsewhere for joy and fulfillment instead of in the kingdom of God and his son Jesus Christ. Are any of these things true for you? If they are, then we have to see again this morning the experience of the Queen of Sheba. You know, she's having, you could say, a Grand Canyon moment. The blessings of God are far greater than she ever imagined. And to think that what she saw was but a foretaste of the immense wisdom, prosperity of the kingdom of God with Christ as king. The kingdom that will be brought to its fullness on the great day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, congregation, ask yourself the question, does the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of what he has done for us, sometimes just leave you amazed, even breathless, as you consider what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ? And just imagine when Jesus Christ is revealed on the clouds of heaven, descending in the glory of God, you know, how long will it be before we're able to again, you know, catch our breath when we see Christ coming? That brings us then finally to our third point, how she responds. Now, the Queen of Sheba had lost her breath for a moment, but she again caught her breath, and then she had a few things to say. And you see that in the remainder of our text this morning. First, in verse 7, she acknowledges that the reports that she heard were not even, you know, the half of all that was true. The wisdom and prosperity surpassed it. But then she goes on. Look at what she says in verse 8. She says, "Happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom." And again, congregation, we ask the question, do you want true and lasting happiness and blessing? You know, we say it so often, you're not going to find it in the things of this material world, but you're going to find it in being continually exposed to the glorious wisdom of God as he's revealed it on the pages of Scripture. This is where your happiness is found. And of course, hearing these things is only half the story. When we hear the wisdom of God, God says, now you can go and do it too, and that will bring you blessing and happiness also. And congregation, you know that God, he's not kidding about this. He's not joking. He's not saying this is just an option I'm giving you. He's saying this is the answer. You were made, beloved. You were made to worship. You were made to submit to your great and awesome King, and God has made it so that when you do, you will be filled beyond belief with blessing. Are we going to submit to the Lord, strive to obey his wise will? Congregation, God has shown you this morning what comes from it. Are you ready to take hold of these things and even lose your breath as the Queen of Sheba does, following your King? The queen goes on in verse 9, "Blessed be the Lord your God who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel." Again, you notice, what does she say? Blessed be the Lord, because God is the one who has done these things. And then she goes on in verse 9, and in these beautiful words, she says, "Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king that you may execute justice and righteousness." Why did Solomon become king? Because God loved his people. And now think, beloved, about you and about Christ. Why has the Lord God made Christ to be our king? Is it not because he loves his people? You know, how important to remember that. Because we can so easily doubt the love of the Lord. Times where we think the love of God is lacking. Times when we think God has just left us hung out to dry. But we need to hear the Queen of Sheba. And she says, can't you see how much God loves you by making Christ your king? You know, Scripture is filled with this truth. To give just one example, think of the book of 1 John chapter 4. You know, all of 1 John speaks about the wonderful love of God. But think about 1 John 4 verse 9. There it says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him." God so loved us that he gave to us Jesus Christ that we might have life, even life forevermore. And how did Christ accomplish that? He came and humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. And having arisen from the dead, he is now seated on the great throne of David, the great Son of David, reigning forever. And just as the Queen of Sheba says, King Solomon is reigning with perfect justice and righteousness, so is the Lord Jesus. The justice of God against our sins has been satisfied. We are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that Queen of Sheba commented on was the beautiful clothing of his servants and his officials. And think about us, congregation. We are clothed with the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. Are we starting to see something of the breathtaking blessings of the kingdom of God with Christ as king? Now, even though the Queen of Sheba, this is the last words that we read in our text from her in verse 9, these actually aren't the final things that the Queen of Sheba has to say. And that's because the Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12 that at the very end of the age, the Queen of Sheba is going to speak once more. And this is what she will say. Jesus says, Matthew 12, verse 42, "The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here." What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that the Queen of Sheba will rise at the judgment, and she will condemn everyone who heard the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ and chose to ignore them. Because she, as Jesus says, came from the ends of the earth. She traveled far, even over 2,000 kilometers, just to catch a faint glimmer of the glory of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And here we are, congregation, in our day, being absolutely bathed in the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the question is simply this: is Christ your king? Do you see his glory? Do you submit to him? Are you happy as his servant, just as the Queen of Sheba says you should be? Rejoicing daily in the blessings of the kingdom and in serving the Lord, because you too understand this is where blessing is found. And to top it all off, when the Queen of Sheba leaves, she does indeed give to Solomon a great gift: gold, spices, precious stones, just like in time the Lord Jesus Christ would be given gold, frankincense, and myrrh, because he is worthy, congregation, to receive the worship of the nations. He is worthy to have every knee in heaven and on earth bend before him, because he is the great King of Kings. And so let us too bend the knee before our great King, because this is where breathtaking blessing in the kingdom of God is found, under the rule of the great Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.